This conference will now be recorded.
Thank you. Speaker's also gonna have to attend the Veterans Commission meeting. And so I want to go ahead and call the meeting to order. It's 1:01. And clerk, can you do a roll call, please?
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congressman Keen.
Present.
Speaker Pratt. Congresswoman Revard.
Here. Okay, thank you. So we have a quorum. The next item on our agenda is prayer. Trey, could you lead us in prayer this afternoon?
Yes, thank you. I'd be happy to. Bow your heads. Dear Lord, thank you for the blessings you bestow upon us. Thank you for the rains. Thank you for this wonderful sunshine. Please watch everyone as they travel over this next few weeks for the dances. Please be with these members of Congress as they make important decisions for the people of the Osage Nation. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Trey. The next item on our agenda is approval of minutes, and those are in the would be located in our invite. They are dated March 16th,
2021. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I see on executive session, personnel matters says to enter executive session, it gives a time, but then it says move to exit executive session, and then it says entered again. The committee entered executive session at 10:14, so that should be exited.
Yes, thank you, Speaker. Any other comments?
I don't see anything else, so I would make a motion to approve the journal for March 16th, 2021 as amended.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Item on our agenda is the election of a vice chair for this CA committee. And so I'll open up nominations.
Chair Revard, second speaker.
Go ahead.
I would like to nominate Pam Shaw as the vice chair of Congressional Affairs Committee. Congresswoman Shaw, sorry.
Okay. Are there any other nominations at this time?
Madam Chair, this is Brandy.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to make a motion to cease nominations.
Is there a second on the motion to cease?
Second.
In favor, say yes.
Yes.
Hey, Congresswoman Shaw.
What a feedback.
You are the Vice Chair of Congressional Affairs Committee.
Thank you, committee.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. We worked really well together this last time, so I appreciate that. And the next item on our agenda are payables. And I will turn this piece over to our budget analyst, Jordan Frazier.
All right, let me scroll down. The only ones that I have are to code publishing. And in the law on the code publishing fund, it says that these all have to go before CA and be approved. So we have three, as you can see there in your packet. One of them is for $167.60. The second is for $62.85. And the last one is for $1,759.80. And in the code publishing fund, based on the most recent revolving fund report we received from Treasury, it looks like we have $22,735 available in the code publishing fund.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, do they have to be individually? Do they have to have individual motions to approve? Or can we do one combined motion?
I guess I could leave that up to whoever wants to make the motion, I guess, however they feel more comfortable. We do enter them in the system separately because they each have different invoice numbers. So I guess if you're asking me my preference, I would probably say to do them individually.
Okay, Madam Chair, I would like to make a motion to approve the payable for code publishing for $167.60.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Motion to approve the payable for code publishing for $62.85.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Motion to approve the payable for code publishing for $1,759.80.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, committee. I appreciate that. And Jordan, that's all of the payables, correct?
Yes, ma'am. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. The next item on our agenda is item number 7, which is a review of our legislative financials. And I will turn this piece over to Jordan. The financials he'll be going over will be the legislative branch, and we also have OFPR. Thank you.
It looks like we are doing fine in every area. The only concern that's been raised to me is the travel line. We still have $4,685.88. And some concerns have been raised that if there is much travel in the next few months, that might not be sufficient. Actually, there is one other. The other line, which is used for like employee drug tests, and we used it for the Christmas ad and then also for funeral flowers, is running low. It's got $167.47 left. That is, it's sad to say, but it's, I think, in large part due to COVID and the amount of deaths we've had this year and the funeral flowers. So we might need a budget mod for that too.
Okay, thank you. And with the, on the other line item, I think we can actually move money from professional fees. Is that correct? Or anything below that's non-admin?
Yes, ma'am. That's my understanding. On the other line, you could move it from professional fees. On the travel line, it would have to be from something above the line. It looks like you could move something from the conferences and special events line, because there's how much is left there? Let me see. Yeah, it's listed on here as training, dues, and registrations, because that's how they have it listed in Microy, so that's what I went with. But there's $10,000 left. We've only used about $2,000, so you could probably take some out of that. And then on the rental and equipment maintenance line, or it's, as it's listed on here, equipment repairs and maintenance, that's, we haven't used any of that, so you could move some out of there for travel as well if you wanted to.
Okay. I don't believe we would need, and I agree with the travel, and I think we would just, that would just require a budget modification, and I don't know that the committee would not have to take action on that. The budget analyst and myself have the authority to do budget mods as long as it stays within the allowable amount. So are there any other questions or comments for Jordan regarding our current balances? Okay, if not, we can move on to the OFPR statement of revenue and expenditures. Jordan, do you feel comfortable going over that, or do you want me to?
I feel fine going over it. He has $153,677 budgeted according to this document. And then they've only used about $14,000 of that. And we only have about a quarter of the fiscal year left. So I think he's fine.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other or questions or comments for Jordan regarding this financial? Okay, if not, we can move on to the next item, which is the Westlaw contract. And I've invited Trey to attend to kind of explain this contract in more detail for those of us that are new. So I'll go ahead, Trey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we have a Westlaw contract. I believe we currently have four usernames that we're allowed to use. Each person who utilizes Westlaw has to have their own specific username, so that they can keep track. They don't like, just like any other service, they don't want you to share usernames because we pay for them individually. In the past, there have been members of Congress specifically that wanted to have this service. It's mainly utilized as a research service for attorneys when we want to look for federal or state case law. If we want to look at case law in other jurisdictions for briefing purposes in litigation. But for the purposes of the Osage Nation Congress, it was essentially utilized for the purpose of looking at law, state and federal statutes, and some tribal statutes that are contained within Westlaw. There aren't a lot anymore, but there are a few that people can refer to, and if they want to have ideas or gain ideas for how another jurisdiction has approached a legal issue or a legislative issue, they use it for that. We currently have a contract that was set to expire in December. We had an addendum that we placed on that contract so that it would not automatically renew. Generally, Westlaw has a provision in their contracts that will cause you to automatically renew, even if you haven't signed off on a new contract. And then that goes on for 3 years. Well, we signed off for a one-year contract with an addendum that did away with the automatic renewal. So in reality, our contract ended at the end of December, but we have continued to receive the service and continued to pay for the service for the past few months. And I brought this to the attention of the Westlaw representative. Of course, he would like us to continue the service, but I want to know what the Congress wants to do or what the committee wants to do as far as whether or not we want to renew or whether you want me to take steps to terminate this contract and no longer have the service. I don't believe it has been utilized much, if at all, over the past couple of years, but we do continue to pay for it. The only time I have utilized it is when I have been involved in litigation for the Osage Nation, which was mainly through the Supreme Court. So it's only been on a very limited basis that I have utilized this service. When I do my research for other clients or anything non-Osage related, I use a different Westlaw account. So I think it might be helpful. I know I'm kind of giving you an overview, but it might be helpful if maybe the members of Congress were able to log on to Westlaw. And it's not the easiest thing in the world to navigate. Like I said, it's designed for attorneys, but people can learn how to use it. And it can be, at least you could see whether or not you think it's a tool that you would want to continue to use.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Trey. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Gill. I just have a couple of questions. So refresh my memory, who are the four that have the ability to utilize this research database?
At this time, I can't tell you exactly who is still named on it. I believe the last time I checked, and this has been a while, I was one person. There was Shannon Edwards. I believe Maria Whitehorn was one. And I do not recall who the fourth person was at the time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gill. And do we receive, and maybe we do, reports on how many times the users have logged on to utilize it, and so that we can, I'm not sure we need to continue to pay this $832 every month at this point, even if you yourself don't utilize it that often. You use other areas for your research. I just kind of want to see what the other committee members, how they feel.
Chair Evard.
Yes, go ahead, Congressman Keene.
Yeah, obviously I'd defer to our counsel, Gill, but I don't really think it would be necessary for us to keep paying as a congressional body, because as Trey said, that, I mean, we rarely access it. And are we paying a monthly charge? Is that correct?
Yes, $850 some a month.
Yeah, and basically, well, I've interned at law firms where I had access to it, and it's usually just for pure litigation. And like Trey said, it's usually solely for attorneys. So obviously, we're involved in some litigation, but I don't think we need to use it. I don't think we use it enough to justify paying the monthly charge, is what I'm trying to say, because we're a governmental body. It'd be different if we were a law firm or something of that nature. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Congressman Keene. Yes, go ahead, Congresswoman Shaw.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. So Trey, is it your recommendation that we do not continue with the contract, or do you feel like we could use it even on a limited basis for just yourself?
We would have that option. We could do a monthly for just one username instead of four. But I don't feel like it would be beneficial to the nation for you to pay monthly for the amount of time that I use it. They do have an option, or at least last time I discussed it with the representative, they do have an option where you can pay on an as needed basis. So if you have a big case that comes up, you don't usually use it, they can offer you a username and then you pay. But it's more expensive to do it that way. You're going to pay more for that one session of research, but it would be cheaper than us paying monthly, you know, for a whole month subscription. I mean, a whole year subscription, if we just had 2 months of litigation. So it's my recommendation that you terminate the annual subscription unless members of Congress decide they want to start utilizing it on a regular basis, because it is really not being utilized.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Gill. And then I'll make the motion to terminate the annual subscription to Westlaw.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to terminate the contract with Westlaw. All those in favor say yes.
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 Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you, Trey. I appreciate the way that you described this contract and what it was used for. So I appreciate that. Okay, so we've agreed to terminate the contract. The next item on our agenda is the OFPR policy and procedures. And in your packet that you received, you can see that it contains policy and procedures in which there's five chapters, and I wanted to, I had to educate myself about this as well. So I am going to tell you that these policies were approved by Congress through a motion January 26th of 2011. And so they haven't actually been updated that I could find and approved through Congress. So they're relatively old. I had asked Ross Novak to go through and to edit the policies, and he did so. So you'll see that there's a lot of striking of language within the policies. I feel like I wanted to take this time to actually introduce the committee to these policy and procedures. I myself was not aware that they existed, but now that I'm aware, I think we ought to just take the time and review them and maybe do that over a time frame so that we could really look at these in more detail. I'm not for sure if the rest of the committee is familiar with these policies or procedures or not, but they contain, I guess that it kind of lays out how the OFPR department is to operate administratively through their office management and support services, their audit policies, their performance, and their engagement policies. So I don't know how the committee feels about this, but I'm open to any discussion at this point.
This is Brandy, Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm a policy junkie in sorts. I've written it before, and I'm sure all of us have probably been there on that. And we all feel, and I can only speak for myself on how I feel about policy and the fact that it's a book for us that helps to guide us. Not a book, but you know what I'm saying, the policies that are in place. And one thing that I do know from experience is that if we try to tackle it all at once, which I did visit with you about this shortly, Chairwoman Rivard, is that it can become overwhelming. And being that there's a possibility that these haven't been viewed or looked at and updated since 2011, which is unfortunate, my suggestion would be that if we're going to go forth with this as a committee, which I am behind, I'm doing that if that's where we want to go, is that we break it up into sections and we choose to go through a limited amount at each meeting. Then we know that every single meeting that we're going to be looking at some type of policy review. If we need to change it, you know, we make the edits. And then one question that I have is, we make the edits to that, do we then submit it to the body of Congress before, after? What has been the normal process, or is it just stay within this committee for recommendations as far as if there needs to be something changed or updated? And then I guess another question I have is it common practice to have a quality assurance, which that might be more work, which I don't want to add more work to your schedule, second speaker, but a calendar showing, you know, what groups and what section we would be going through on a yearly basis. Because a lot of times whenever you're looking at policies, which I'm probably preaching to the choir here, is that you do it on a monthly basis, different policies, so that you can continually be evaluating and updating to meet our own needs. So that would be one suggestion, is that we break it into sections and or even consider possibly subcommittees and studying them and looking at them. So I just kind of want to, that's just one suggestion that I would have. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. And to answer one of your questions, the way I understand is that it would, the committee would work on these and then we send them to Congress for approval. Would you agree, Trey?
Yes, yeah, I would agree.
Okay, thank you. And I'm also in support of that concept, because we also have, I've talked to our clerk, and we also have legislative policy and procedures that we would like to come through. There's some pieces within that could actually be probably moved over to rules if rules would agree to that. And so I do like the concept that you speak of, Congresswoman Lemon, that this is probably something we should be doing on a regular basis. Are there any other comments from the committee on how we move forward?
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that's a really good idea to split them up, because it can be a little overwhelming sometimes when you're trying to review such a large document. And I also agree that this should be something that we're doing on a regular basis. So I agree for sure.
Okay. Any other comments from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I was just wondering, were we thinking of, I mean, just anybody else jump in here, were we thinking that you would give an assignment to us, like ultimately say we're going to go over this policy at this meeting, you know, and then maybe we run through it or whatever, and then let's say that today, let's say for instance today that you had assigned us one, and that's what we're doing right now, is we're going through a policy. Let's just pretend that we are. And then at the end of the meeting, you would say, okay, now I'm going to verbally tell you, but I'll also send it to you in the email. We're going to look at this section next, so that we kind of have an idea of where we're headed, and we're just going to go straight through, you know, start at the, you know, the page one, you know, or is there something pressing that we need to look at that may have come up that we need to look at now? You know how sometimes we come into something whenever we might not, we know we have a policy, but we might not be studying it, you know, and have to refer to it when a situation arises.
Yes, I understand, Congresswoman Lemon. And I think I was thinking about what if we all as a committee go ahead and let's start looking through chapter one. It contains 14 pages, and then I can put it on the agenda for the next CA meeting, which usually is, you know, every other month. And that really what drives that when I set a meeting is actually the payables. But I feel like we could, if everybody could just look at chapter one and then we all put it on the agenda, we could revisit that section and then keep it in committee until we're completely done with it. That way, whenever we get ready for session, because I think it's, we'd have to be in special session or session to approve the document. I was thinking that we keep it all in committee until we have a complete document for Congress. What do you guys think?
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Just one question. Will that allow us to get through it in a timely fashion, since it hasn't been reviewed in such a long time? So if we have a, did you say a meeting every other month? Is that what?
Yeah, that was my kind of an example, but we have, of course, CJO will be coming up and we're going to be so extremely busy. Maybe we take the first two chapters because there's only five. There's a total of 146 pages. What do you guys think or recommend?
I think we can handle more than 14 pages at a time. So maybe if we, to make sure that we can get through it and get it ready for a session, maybe just, like you said, a couple of sections. Is there one section that is larger than the others? Let me see here.
I believe that chapter three has like 59 pages. That seems to be the largest piece of it.
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So looking at planning on how we can get through it with only meeting every other month, would, I mean, I'm just didn't know how the, what your thoughts were on possibly maybe, you know, meeting maybe more often, or is it not allowed? Only, and the only reason I say this is because we've all been in many committee meetings where we thought the discussion was going to go one way and it ends up going a different way. And so I find that sometimes we can intend on getting through something, but we don't sometimes get on down the agenda because we do end up getting not stuck, but we end up having a longer discussion on a certain topic maybe that we didn't intend to. And I've just even had this happen in several other meetings I've been in just in my regular professional career in trying to get through policies and procedures. So what do you guys think? Are you thinking that maybe we should meet sooner and have, and can we?
We could do that. I feel like we could knock it out in three different meetings because the first two chapters, it looks like we could do, there's like 51 pages. The third chapter is 59. So I think that's the audit policy, which would probably take some discussion. And the last two chapters, four and five, are around 39 pages. And it's really, I know, not about the pages, it's about the content, but I am more than happy to have CA meetings, even if this is the only thing on the agenda. I think it's important. OFPR, you know, since we've been on Congress, Congresswoman Lemon, for myself, Congresswoman Shaw, and Congressman Keene, I don't want to speak for them, but this is kind of still new to us as to what it is that they do and what this looks like. So I'm more than happy to meet more frequent if you guys are okay with that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes. And, you know, even though I've been on here since 2018, the position went unfilled for quite some time. So that too is going to help be helpful for me. And then we did have Sam here for a short amount of time. And so I do feel that this is important and I'm willing to meet also. And you're so gracious with giving us and sending us, forwarding all of the documentation that we need. And it's right in one, nice little package with a bow on it. So I appreciate that.
Okay, so I don't know that we need, do we need a motion or anything or take action, or should we just agree that let's look at chapter one and two, and then I can just add it to the agenda next time?
Sounds good to me. Let's keep going.
Okay. The next item on our agenda is item number 10, which is the OFPR audit plan. And this was another document I wanted to introduce to the committee. And it looks like this audit plan was approved by Congress again through motions and notices. And that was November 19th of 2019. And so this was the last time that I could find that a plan was actually approved by Congress. I reached out to Congresswoman Stabler and the clerk and had asked, you know, in this audit plan, it had listed out the goals for 2020 for OFPR to audit and review areas of concern. And the following six audits were identified, which would have been auditing the health benefit fund, the matching grant fund, ONES, the Osage LLC, and Taposka Onkodapi. What I understand and through the memory of Congresswoman Stabler was that the only report that was submitted was a really small report regarding ONES and Osage LLC, which kind of talked more about helping them with financials. So my question to this committee, I think it's, we need to guide that department as what is it that we want them to do? Are you guys okay with these current goals? Or do you think they need to be amended? And I'm just really looking for guidance from the committee on this piece.
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Brandy, and I appreciate you putting this on here again. These are things that we get in our daily lives, and we just keep going. And anytime I'm never against reassessing and, putting the target a little bit to the left or to the right on our goals. And it is different with different folks when they get elected and what direction we want to go. And not that the goals that we have in front of us aren't still important. It's just they may have evolved, or there may be some digression there. So, let's get to work on this. That's where I'm at with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Yes. Go ahead, Trey.
I haven't looked at the law on this recently. I wasn't sure what discussion was going to entail, but as I recall, the audit plan is generally put together by the director of OFPR and then presented for the Congress to approve. Is the committee going to make changes to the plan itself and then submit it to the Congress? Is that the idea? Being compliant with whatever the law says.
Yes, good point, Trey. And I'm going to tell you, to be honest, I don't know. That's why I thought I'd add it to the agenda, because let me read real quick, guys. Sorry. How Congress had approved that. Let me see. And you may be right, Trey, that it came from the audit plan was designed by the OFPR. Yeah, it just says that it was approved, the actual plan. So it may have been presented by the OFPR director. I'm uncertain.
Okay. I'm going to look real quick and see what the law says.
Okay. Thank you. I have the law in front of me as well, but I'm not for sure. I'll let you do that, Trey.
Chair Rivard, this is the clerk.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
I can confirm that the motion that was made on the floor of Congress was to approve a plan that was submitted by the director of OFPR at that time, or the chief audit officer of OFPR at that time, that was submitted to the clerk's office and is included in our communications. And that was then submitted to Congress for approval. So that was the process that took place at that time.
Okay, so we currently, guys, have this audit plan that was approved by Congress. And so to me, it's still alive. I was just, do you want me to have the OFPR director submit a new plan or keep this one, I guess would be our question.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Trey.
The law contemplates an annual plan being put in place at 15 ONC section 1-206 under responsibility. It reads, the OFPR has the responsibility to develop an annual audit plan using an appropriate risk methodology, including any identified risks or control concerns, and submit that plan to the Congress for review and approval, as well as periodic updates. So I think what you may want to do is request that OFPR submit a new annual plan, if not this year, for the next fiscal year. And they may be able to use this as a base. I'm sure that the current director of OFPR would be happy to have any input from this committee that he could get. But I would suggest that you have them draft it for either the remainder of this fiscal year or for the beginning of the next fiscal year. I think at this point, it would probably make more sense to do it for the beginning of the next fiscal year, because it would be difficult to squeeze in much, if any, audits between now and October 1.
I could agree with that. Committee, do you guys agree with Trey?
I can get behind that. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, so we would be then, we would agree that I would have the OFPR director develop a new audit plan for FY22 to bring before our committee for approval, correct?
And yes, then we'll have a clarification question.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay.
Trey, you mentioned, if I could ask Trey, you mentioned, input from the committee. And I believe even in 2019, there was input from just members of Congress. If I remember correctly, I don't have the best memory, but just kind of where we wanted to focus on some issues. And so when you do say input, you're talking about some goals that maybe other members of Congress or this committee would like to see in the plan, or in a roundabout way.
Yes, I would like an opportunity to fully review the OFPR law before I state exactly how much input the Congress or the committee should have. If you look at the initial intention of the law, it was to have a somewhat objective look at the executive branch. And the reason that OFPR was created was to keep an arm's length distance between the auditing branch or the auditing arm of the congressional branch and the members of Congress, so that it didn't appear that there would be, members of Congress are directing some sort of a witch hunt or something like that, or trying to make OFPR avoid certain areas because they had family members that worked there. It was really meant to be somewhat autonomous and objective, in that the OFPR would create their own audit plan as far as what they were going to audit. When I say input from the committee, I'm really talking more about, whether you want to focus on financial issues or policy issues that aren't, possibly not being followed. If you see that across the board with multiple departments in the executive branch, obviously most of this focuses on the executive branch because of the legislative branch and the judicial branch are so small. But as far as anything beyond that, I would definitely like the opportunity to review the law before I advise the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. That's one reason I appreciate that, because that is one reason I wanted a little bit more clarification on that particular piece of it. So thank you. And I'd appreciate the clarification. I mean, you know, your remarks once you've had your chance to review it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you, Congresswoman. And I definitely had some concern in how this was to work, because the law, you know, states that OFPR shall report to the Osage Nation Congress. To me, I read that as they will submit reports, and the personnel shall be supervised by the Congressional Affairs Committee in accordance with the legislative branch policy and procedures. Well, the clerk and I were looking at the legislative branch policy and procedures for guidance, and there, when you get to that section, there's not anything. So I'm glad we're talking about this. And so thank you, Trey, for doing that. I think we are going to need a little bit of guidance. So we'll wait until you also have some type of information to provide. But in the meantime, I can still ask him to submit a new plan. Is that what you guys understand?
And Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, that's what I understand based on this conversation. I just want to make a comment. I've been here, you and I've been here for almost a year, and Congressman King, and OFPR is probably the one area that's really a mystery to me, because I haven't seen in that year any work product at all coming from really either of the folks. I'm ready to understand how it should be functioning and why it hasn't been functioning the way that it maybe was intended to be, and maybe it is, but I have a real hard time commenting, I guess, on OFPR, because I don't know how it's supposed to work. I haven't seen anything from them, any audits that, you know, would kind of give me an idea as to what they're really doing. So I am definitely looking forward to more conversation on this, but I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Congresswoman Shaw.
Yes.
Go ahead, Congressman Keene.
The way I see OFPR, it's kind of like our compliance department. So it's expressly created as a body that we created. So as far as audit, we can, you know, request documents, and then they just kind of report their findings to us as a body. So, because the executive has their own compliance too, but the OFPR just reports directly to Congress, if that helps at all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Congressman Keene. The next item on our agenda is executive session. That's item 11. So I'd like to entertain a motion to go into executive session at this time.
For
proprietary and confidential matters.
So moved. This is Brandy.
Second.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, thank you. And I'll give the clerk time. Trey, I definitely want Trey to stay on the line.
I will do so.